Last week, Father Jim issued a call, a challenge to all of us to revive our faith, to go deeper and take a next step into our spiritual lives. In order to remind us of how we begin reviving our faith, Father Jim assigned a word to each letter of the word revived. So we have risk, expect, value, invest, voice, and engage. This week, we shall focus on the first two words, risk and expect. Have you ever noticed that many of the disciples' questions to Jesus may parallel our own questions that we ask of our Lord? Our parable today of the generous landowner is prompted by a question asked by St. Peter. If you remember Jesus' encounter with the rich young man, a young man who comes to Jesus and says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Keep the commandments." The young man says, "I've done this. What still do I lack?" And Jesus says, the gospel says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. "You lack only one thing. Go and sell all that you have and come and follow me." And it says that the young man went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus follows up this encounter with the rich young man with some very harsh and intense words about wealth and riches. And then it prompts Peter to ask a question that I think many of us have asked in our hearts. He says, "Lord, we have left everything and followed you. What then shall we have?" Isn't this question similar to so many questions that we might have asked in our hearts as well? Maybe not explicitly, but kind of formulated in the back of our minds. "Lord, if I follow you, what will be my reward? What's in it for me? Following you is a risk. Lord, what shall I expect in return?" Taking the next step in our faith is indeed a risk. And it can be a risk to dedicate more time to our Lord, more time perhaps during the day to daily prayer, when that time could be used well for something else. Perhaps a weekend or a weekday when we're going to a parish event, something to enliven our faith, and we sacrifice a night or a part of our day for that event. Or perhaps it is surrendering part of our hard-earned money to the church and saying, "Yes, this is for the church's mission, but it could have gone to something else." All risks, and we know it very well. And so we return to the question of Peter. "We have left many things and followed you. What then shall we have?" Jesus responds to these questions with the parable we have today. In the parable that Jesus offers, of the generous landowner, he sort of shifts our attention from the worker's desire for payment over to the generosity of the landowner, showing us how generous that landowner can be. In this parable, the landowner goes out several times a day, first beginning of the day, then at noon, at 3, and at 5, and gathers workers into his vineyard to work for him. And he promises them a day's wage. When the workers come up, who have been there from the beginning of the day, they get the same wage as those at the beginning of the day, or at the end of the day. And I like to look at this parable as the most un-American of parables. This kind of flies in the face of our kind of American work ethic. Where is the justice? Where is the fairness in giving the same wage to one who only worked an hour, to those who worked all day? And yet, that is not Jesus' focus here. His focus is on the generosity of the landowner. And who is the landowner an image of? God the Father. The generosity of the landowner is the generosity of God. Jesus presents him, if you will, as an icon of generosity. As the first reading tells us and reminds us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts." The landowner is quite similar to the sower in the parable of the sower of the seed. The sower scatters the seed all over the soil, no matter if the soil is receptive to that seed or not. He just gives generously, pours out the gift of the seed. In the same way, the landowner pours out the opportunity for work and payment to anyone who will accept it. The rule or measure of the landowner, the rule or measure of God, is not justice or fairness, but the superabundance of love. The superabundance of love. Yes, there is risk involved here. Just as the sower risks the scattering of the seed on soil that may not receive it, so the landowner asks people to work who may not accept such work. And the Lord risks, yes, but he also expects a response. Love is freely given. That superabundance of love is freely given, and it needs to be freely accepted. And that is one reason, I think, why the workers who come at the end of the day receive a full wage. They are grateful for the gift of payment. The God who loves a cheerful giver loves no less a cheerful receiver. In this parable, Jesus points to the generosity of a landowner and declares, "This is the generosity of God." Now, the generosity of the landowner is supposed to be a challenge and inspiration for all of us to follow in the footsteps and example of God. And so we remember Peter's question, "Lord, what will we then have?" And questions that we bring to the Lord. "Lord, we have left things to follow. You have sacrificed time, treasure, talent to give to you. What then shall we have?" These questions remind me of a time in my own life when I was facing quite a number of sacrifices. And this was right before my ordination to the diaconate. And before a man is ordained a deacon or a priest, he goes on a retreat, oftentimes a five-day retreat. And I went down to a Poor Clara's monastery where a friend of mine was a sister. Now, this Poor Clara's monastery was cloistered, which meant that all of the women there live in this building and never leave. They have sacrificed not only the gifts of family and friends, or not just family, but also just to live in the outside world. And on this retreat, I was really struggling with the fear of giving up a family, marriage, a career, kind of taking this to the Lord and asking him to please help me through this. And my friend, Sister Marie, was there, and a couple days in, I was able to talk to her, and I expressed to her this fear. And I remember saying something along the lines of, "Yes, I know that this choice is good because Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough." And she almost laughed at me. She almost laughed at me and said, "You're so silly." Said, "You look at things totally on the negative. Jesus is enough." And she got very animated and she said, "Jesus is everything. Jesus is everything." I've never forgot that interaction with Sister Marie. I was worried about the sacrifices I was going to make on my day of ordination. And yet I was faced with a young woman, she's younger than I was, who had already given up family, marriage, career, and life outside of the monastery, the convent. And yet, she knew that Jesus was everything. In receiving Jesus, she had received all gifts. And she had such joy in that. And praying over that instance, that little experience, I've often thought of the line in the gospel, "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you." Jesus is calling each of us to the generosity of love. He is calling us to the generosity of God himself. Now, where do we come in full contact with such generosity but here at Mass? We come here, and Jesus not only gives us his time and his power and many gifts, but what do we hear he gives us? Through the mouth of his priest, we hear the words, "This is my body given for you." The superabundance of love that Jesus offers is to give everything over to us. The superabundance of love does not hesitate at giving all. Giving all. So yes, it is a risk to give. But is the risk that Jesus and God has already taken. Now we all know that we are called to this generosity, and yet it is a risk. And the Lord knows this. Conversion, we could be defined as the slow giving of ourselves over to the Lord. Jesus and God give us the fullness of their love in an instant. We have to give ourselves over to God slowly, gradually. So this weekend, and every week and day and moment of our lives, what is that next step we are to take? The next step of conversion will be surrender to the Lord another part of ourselves, eventually seeking out the full surrender of our lives to Jesus. Now, my friends, I have one more thought for prayer for us this weekend. Yes, we all know that generosity is a risk, and Jesus provides an example of that generosity. But we also should expect things from God. God promises us many things in Scripture. For instance, his peace that the world cannot give, his joy that makes our joy complete, his strength to shoulder the cross and the sufferings of this life. He offers us purpose in life and eventually eternal life in heaven. But my friends, do we actually look for these gifts in our daily life? Every day, there are gifts scattered throughout. It is the seed of the sower. The invitation of the generous landowner to be invited into a relationship with God. These gifts are scattered upon us every day. But do we look for them? Do we expect them? Do we expect that God will actually speak to us in prayer? Because he does. But do we look for it? Even though we know that at every Mass, Jesus Christ comes to us, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. But do we expect to have an encounter, an experience at every Mass? Do we expect that when we start to surrender ourselves to Jesus Christ, that we will experience his love, his joy, his peace, and his grace? The revival of our lives and deepening of our lives of faith takes place precisely in imitating the generosity of God, who risks everything out of love for us. This is our call, and this is how we revive our faith.